That love truly deserves everything we have, all that we can give belongs to God. Would you pray with me before we read a passage from Gospel of Matthew together? Oh Lord, we do pray that you would remind us of your great love that has been shown most clearly at the cross. And as we hear your word again and meditate upon it, would you draw us close to yourself and increase our love for you, the one who first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Well, perhaps this passage has struck you in a new way, as it has hit me during this time of sheltering in place and social distancing. While the word isolation is not used in this passage, it is clear that in the garden, Jesus involuntarily experienced social distancing, that is, a separation from his closest relationships. Jesus, being not only the Savior of his people, but also the model human, shows us how important relationships are. At the very beginning of the Bible, we are told that it was not good for Adam to be alone. And in his darkest hour, Jesus, the second Adam, longed for a few close friends to stick with him. Jesus didn't go to the Garden of Gethsemane alone. We find in verse 36 that he went with his disciples. And even though he goes off a short distance from 8 of the disciples, he takes the 3 with him. What's very interesting is that he doesn't hide the way he feels from his friends, the way we often do. Jesus didn't say, "I'm fine, just give me a little space." What would your closest friends say if when they asked how you're doing, you answered in an honest way like Jesus? "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." How would you respond if a close friend told you that he or she was crushed with grief? The sad truth is that we often don't know how to respond to suffering. And maybe that's why we're scared to share the truth with one another. Jesus is actually echoing the language of a psalm of lament. The same rare Greek word for extreme sorrow is used in Psalm 42. The English Standard Version uses the phrase there, "cast down." "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" in exposing his soul to his friends, Jesus doesn't seem to be looking for any words of comfort from them. He is just asking for their presence. Remain here and watch with me. It's an invitation to come alongside Jesus in his suffering. It's an invitation to watch out for the accuser, the liar, the tempter, the evil one, the enemy of our souls, but also a call to call out for help to our defender, the God of truth, the deliverer, the lifter of our heads, the good one, the friend of our souls, who longs to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Remain here and watch with me. How can you and I respond to those in isolation or sick with COVID-19? Well, you can watch with them. You can ask that the evil one will be thwarted. You can ask that our Father would provide them with their daily bread, meeting their physical, emotional, social, and spiritual needs. If you are in the same household, you can remain with them, just being present, without necessarily needing to say anything. Sometimes I think we forget that Jesus was and is fully human, as well as being fully divine. One scholar suggested that in the Gethsemane story, Jesus' humanity surfaces more evidently than anywhere else in the New Testament. As the second Adam and being fully human, Jesus was free to oppose the divine will. Jesus' faith in his Father's ability to save him from death is very evident in his prayer. The book of Hebrews makes this explicit. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. How many of us have spoken to God with loud cries and tears? Do you and I recognize that it is okay to do this? It is okay to say, "How long, O Lord, until I can hug my relatives and loved ones again? How long, O Lord, until I get employment again? How long, O Lord, until flu victims in Bangladesh get treatment? How long, O Lord, until the thousands of day laborers in India get food and their work back?" The Psalms don't shy away from expressing anguish with tears. Psalm 6:6 says, "I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping." And Psalm 56:8 says, "You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Jesus models for us that a prayer of lament is okay. God sees our tears. It's clear that Jesus' agony is related to the necessity of drinking the cup. Well, what is this cup that he is talking about? In the Old Testament, the cup referred to God's judgment. Psalm 75, 7 and 8 says this, "It is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs." The cup referred to God's judgment of the wicked. But Jesus was not wicked, so why did he need to drink the cup of God's judgment? The prophet Isaiah predicted that the Messiah would drink the cup of judgment in the place of sinners. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Even though a few hours earlier at the Passover meal, Jesus had told the disciples, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins," even though he predicted that all would fall away, even though he knew that for this hour he had come, that he might be lifted up from the earth in order to draw all people to himself. He rightly dreaded the horrific oppression, torture, abandonment, and isolation that was about to happen. He who had been with God the Father in the beginning, who had been in an eternal, loving relationship before the creation of the world, who had come to earth for the very purpose of saving sinners, he was in horrific anguish on the cusp of this hour. Not only was Jesus about to face abandonment by all of his closest friends, he knew that he was about to face radio silence from his Father in heaven, something that he had never experienced in all eternity. Jesus faced a quarantine a million times more difficult than any of us who put our trust in him ever will. Solitary confinement has driven people to insanity, but for Jesus, this was compounded by one of the most cruel forms of capital punishment, death by crucifixion. Jesus asked for a change in the divine plan in order to avoid the agony of the cross. "If it is possible," he said, "let this cup pass from me." And what is surprising here is that Jesus' prayer request gets denied. Jesus' entreaty for the cup of suffering to be taken away was answered by God the Father in the negative. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. But by concluding all three of his times of prayer with "Your will be done," Jesus models to us submission to his Father. Now had arrived the moment for making the final decision, whether to move forward to the cross or to quit the mission. Because Jesus did not quit the mission, Gethsemane became for you and me the gate of heaven. Have you put your trust in Jesus, the one who is familiar with suffering, the only one who obeyed the Ten Commandments perfectly, the only one who didn't have to die, but voluntarily submitted to the cup of wrath in order to bring life out of his death? He drank that cup of wrath to spare you from the ultimate quarantine, suffering in hell away from the gracious presence of God. Even now, the resurrected, ascended Jesus invites you to come to him. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. As in the experience of Jesus, there may be situations that you need to face alone when your friends fall asleep on you. But in that loneliness, there is for you who believe the presence of one who, beginning in Gethsemane, experienced the ultimate involuntary quarantine, yet came through it and re-entered glory at his Father's right hand. Yes, that same Jesus, now risen and ascended, has promised to never leave you or forsake you. Jesus' invitation is not a promise of a trouble-free life or a pain-free life on this side of eternity, but it is the promise of joy and peace and of eternal life in the presence of a good, true, and beautiful God. Jesus suffered isolation that you might be guaranteed an eternal relationship with the living God.